Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read about the first four verses there in just a few moments as a basis for our study today. So you'll be opening your Bible and have it ready, and we'll be ready to read there in just a little bit. 3 weeks ago, I started a series, I guess you'd call it a series, of three lessons on the home. And we talked about the husband as God would have him to be. And then we talked about the wife as God would have her to be. Last week, I was not here. I was in Kentucky last week, worshiped at the Brummett congregation over in Corbin, Kentucky, a place where I've held probably five or six gospel meetings in times past. And there were still two or three people there that still remembered me from the time that I was preaching back then. But I enjoyed that. But now today, with the final lesson, we're going to talk about children and parents today. And this will kind of wind up this lesson that we're talking about. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 was where we got our lesson from on the husbands and the wives. And then in chapter 6 and verse 1, it starts with the children. So if you'll read with me, we'll read this and then get into our lesson today. Chapter 6 and verse 1, reading from the New King James translation. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Those four verses there says a lot, and we're going to talk about a lot today in this lesson that we're studying. We're going to talk about parents and children, and we'll start with the parents, because if there were no parents, then there would be no children. You know, God set things in order back when he created the world, how that everything was to produce after its own kind. Even the trees and the grass and so forth in the fields. You know, you got an apple tree and an apple falls down to the ground and there's seed in that apple and it gets into the earth and germinates and it comes forth and it brings forth another apple tree just like the one that apple fell off from. And God intended that it be that way, and each species was produced after its own kind. When man was created, he was told by God to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And so, if there were no parents, then there would be no children. So we talk about parents first then. By the decision of parents and by the help of God, children are brought into the world. Parents decide that they want to be parents, that they want to have children. And so, by the help of God, then children are brought forth into the world. Now, we know that these children, if we could think of it like this, if someone were just to lay in your hands a small infant, here is a species of the human race that is as helpless as can be. Without your help, that person could not survive. And so this is the way it is with God. God hands into our hands or lays into our hand a species of the human race that could not make it on their own. And we must, through our efforts, see that person grows, matures, is educated, is taught and trained in the admonition and the teaching of the Lord. So we as parents then have a great responsibility when children are born. And we have the responsibility to teach and train, and we're going to talk more about that as we get into our lesson today, and the importance of our teaching and training our children in the way that they should go. In Psalms 127 and verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So children then are a heritage. It's something special. It's something that's important. It's something that means a lot to God. Here was one of his own that he lays in our hands and gives us the responsibility and trusts us enough to raise that child in the way that it should go to where it can mature. Now, we know that when children are born in the world, we're anxious to see them grow and mature. We're anxious to see them as they begin to crawl, as they begin to sit up, and then they pull up, and they begin to walk around holding the things, and the first thing you know, they turn loose, and here they go across the floor. And what a joy it is to see them grow and to mature and to realize that they're developing in the way that they ought to develop. Well, that's what God intends for us to do. And that child that's placed within our hands, we are given the responsibility to see that child is nourished the way that it ought to, and that it grows the way that it ought to, and that it's educated the way it ought to. You know, after a while, it gets old enough that we send them off to school. A lot of mothers, they can't hardly stand the first day that the first child leaves home to go to school. They may want to go with them, and they may cry a little bit when they leave home. Well, that's the attachment that's there, and God intended that it be that way. He intended that we love the children and we do everything we could to see to it that they have the things that they need to mature and to become what God intended for them to become. We must realize that children are a blessing from the Lord. It's not a punishment for some wrong that we have done. Sometimes people seem to think that children are a punishment for some wrong that they have done, but that's not the case. God intended that the children be a blessing to us and not something other than that. Along with children comes responsibility, and I think we understand that. Just like if we decide that we're going to get married, there's responsibility that comes along with that. And the home, as we're husband or wife or mother or father or whatever, there's responsibility. So with children comes responsibility. There's a lot of responsibility. Sometimes there may be sleepless nights whenever the child may be sick, not feeling well, and you may sit there with that child doing what you can to relieve whatever pain or whatever they have. Our second daughter, Melissa, one that's just younger than Tammy, incidentally, if those of you don't know, this is my oldest daughter that's here with me this morning. But Melissa had asthma when she was small. And there were times when it seemed like she just every breath would be her last. She just couldn't hardly breathe. And I've sat at night with her in my lap and held her in my lap where she could breathe. If you ever laid her down, she couldn't hardly breathe. So this is a part of it. You love the children. You do whatever you can do to relieve them of whatever aches and pains that they have. It was kind of amusing at the time that she was little like that and had the asthma. I happened to have a car that had air conditioning in it, and the doctor told me, said, if she takes one of those spells, said, put her in the car, turn the air conditioner on, and ride around a while in the car. Well, and you know, here we are in the middle of the night with the air conditioner on, riding around in the car. But if that's what it takes to relieve that pain, that congestion that she might have. So that's the way we are as parents. We're responsible for our children to try to see that they are taken care of in the way that they ought to be taken care of. We choose responsibility when we choose to have children. Now, we talked about the material things, such as the food and things that cause them to grow like they ought to, but there's another thing that God intends for us to do too. He intends for us to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So at the time that we're trying to help them to grow and mature, and to get to where they can walk, get to where they can get the part where they can go to school and learn things there, the reading, writing, and arithmetic that'll help them to fit into society. God intends for us to teach them to where they can fit into the spiritual realm also. Teach them about God. Teach them about Jesus Christ, His Son. Teach them about the creation. And teach them to memorize scriptures and teach them about the characters of the Bible, David and Solomon and Abraham and all the ones that we know about. So they love these stories and they love to hear them. And sometimes we think, well, they're too young, you know, they can't grasp a lot of that. But you'd be surprised how much that they could grasp. I guess it was Tammy telling me this last week when she was in the first grade at the Bible school that her teacher had them to memorize the first chapter of the book of Genesis. So they had to memorize the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and along with all the characters and things there, and the books of the Bible and all that. So here you are, first graders, who are memorizing Genesis chapter 1. Well, you know, they can do that. We a lot of times underestimate the ability of our children, and we need to be teaching them these things as we go along. It's just as important, or more so, that we teach them in the nurture, and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we have that responsibility as children. God intended that we have enough, that He had enough trust in us to think that we would teach them these things as well as we would reading and writing and arithmetic. Children come into the home of inexperienced people. Now think about that for a moment. When your first child is born, you have no experience at all. It's just a new thing. So they come into the home of inexperienced people. That shows that we have to work together, and that's the way it is. It's a growing and learning process. Sure, we're human. We make mistakes. Is there a parent in here that hasn't made a mistake somewhere and maybe spanked the wrong child? I remember a sister of mine had twins, And she was always talking about people couldn't tell them apart, but she could tell them apart, but she fed the same one twice one day. So so sometime, you know, we make mistakes, but we don't let those mistakes get the best of us. We admit those mistakes. Now, parents don't need to try to make the children think that they're perfect and they never make mistakes. We're all human and we do make mistakes, and we just have to admit those mistakes that we make and correct them and then go on and do better next time. And so children make mistakes, parents make mistakes. We're inexperienced when children are born into our home, and so we need to do the best we can to do as God would have us to do and be the parent that we need to be, understanding with our children, and be to the point where the children understand us and know that they can come to us with any question that they have, any problem that they have, and we'll try to deal with it in the way that God would have us to. Someone has said, by the time that we learn how to raise children, we're too old to have them. And that's about right, I suppose. You know, it takes a long time to learn how to raise children, if we ever learn completely. I don't know that we ever learn completely, but we get to where we do a little better maybe than... I hope we did better with the fourth one than we did with the first one, but I don't know that we did. The first one would say, no, you let the fourth one get by with a lot of things you didn't let me get by with. You were not as strict on her as you was on me. And that may be true. I don't know. Maybe we learned some things that we didn't have to do or didn't need to do. But anyway, this is a responsibility of the parents. Now, I will talk more about that as we get into talking about the children. Now, let's talk about the children and the parents. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the first thing it says is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So this is one thing that God says for children to do. Obey your parents. Now, sometime that may be hard to do. Sometime we may disagree with what our parents are wanting us to do. But we must realize that our parents has our best interest at heart in all things that they do. It's left up to the parents to teach children that they are to obey them. Now, if my children are not obeying me, then it's because I did not teach them to obey me. There are not many children that's going to obey the parents if they're not taught to obey the parents. When I was growing up, I was taught that there were certain things that I didn't do. There were certain things that I could do. My parents had rules, and I had to abide by those rules. I understood through them that God had rules that I was to abide by as well. And so if we do not teach our children to obey us, then they're not going to be obedient. And when you see children who do not obey the parents and do not respect the parents, then somewhere along the line we've dropped the ball and we have not taught our children in the way that they should. Children not trained are never really happy and content. You see children you never see them happy. They're always something wrong. You just because these children have not been taught and trained in the way that God intended for them to be. Not always, but most of the time. Very few children will show respect for their parents if they're not taught to show respect for their parents. And I was taught to show respect for my parents. I didn't say things that would cut them down. I didn't refer to my father as the old man. I tried to show respect to my mother as the old woman. I showed respect to her. I probably wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been taught to, just like others, but I was taught by them that this was one thing I was to do, was to respect them, and whatever they said was law to me. So very few children will show respect for their parents if they are not taught to. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what God wants, is for the children to obey. What he insists on, that the children obey the parents. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. So we obey our parents, it's well-pleasing in the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what he intends for us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And so it's very important then that we treat our children in the way that they ought to be treated and need to be treated, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And do not just provoke them to anger or something of this nature just on purpose. And sometimes people seem to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 And beginning in verse 6, I think there's some verses there that kind of tell the story that we're talking about of what God intends for us to do. Listen closely or read along with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And the words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Now, the words that God speaks to us, we're to teach them diligently to our children. Sometimes we think what we know, our children already know. No, they don't. Unless we teach them, they do not know. Or somebody teach them, they do not know. But let's read on now. He said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. What's our conversation about when we're with our children at home? Is it about the ball game? Is it about something that happened at school? Is it about somebody that did something that they shouldn't have done to us and caused us to be angry and things of this nature? It said, you shall talk of them, what? The scriptures. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. What's the Lord saying? He's saying that the scripture ought to always be before us. And we ought to always have in mind the scriptures and what the scriptures say. And how that we can apply that to our own life and how it fits in our life and how it affects us as we ought to be. We can be what God wants us to be, but we're not going to be what God wants us to be without the scripture. The scripture must be there within our hearts, within our minds, within our lives. Sometime I wake up early in the morning before time to get up, and I find myself laying there preaching a sermon to myself, trying to recall scripture and quote them and so forth. And it was kind of funny this last week. They asked me if I wanted to preach over at Brummett when I was over there, but I knew the preacher that normally preached there was there and prepared, and I didn't want them to feel like I was trying to take over. So I did not preach, but The lady that I was with, she said, you could have. I said, yeah, I could have. I didn't have a sermon prepared, but I could have preached the sermon. And I started telling her what I would have used. And I said, and if I hadn't used that, then I would have gone back to Titus chapter 2. And she said, what is Titus chapter 2? So I started at the first verse and quoted the whole chapter to her. And she said, how many chapters in the Bible can you quote like that? I said, well, that's probably the only one. I can start with the first verse and go down all the way through the whole chapter, but there's several places she said, you could have preached it. She said, I knew you could. But anyway, God expects us to be familiar with the scripture. He expects us to think about the scripture. He expects us to have the scripture on our mind at times when we're not even really thinking about it. And this is what we realize that our mind is on this particular thing. You know, if it was today like it was back then, I think a lot of us would work harder in trying to train our children. I want you to listen to these next four verses. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning at verse 18, listen to this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now suppose if we had a rebellious child, that child would be taken out to the gate of the city and stoned to death. I believe we'd work a little harder toward trying to train that child and teach that child and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God said, you know, that thus evil shall be taken away from Israel. Everyone that hears and fear, or everyone that hears shall fear, or have the fear that they might have a child that was that way. I suppose every parent, whenever a child is born, wonders like John's parents did in Luke chapter 1 and verse 66, as to what manner of child shall this child be. That was what they wondered whenever John was about to be born, Zechariah and Elizabeth. This depends on us. You know, what kind of child is going to be depends on us and how we train them They can be good. They can be obedient. They can be one that's just jolly and happy and everybody loves to be around. Or they can be a terror. It depends on how we train those children. When you hear parents say concerning a child, "I can't do a thing with him," well, you know something or someone has failed to do some teaching to that child along the way. And so if I've got a child that I can't do anything with, it, that somewhere along the way I dropped the ball. I didn't teach them the way that I should. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we're taught that we're to hear the instructions of our parents. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." That's what God expects us to do as children, that we are to respect, honor our parents and the things that they try to teach us. Some children think that they know everything, and they consider the advice of their parents as out of date. You know, they lived in a different age. They just don't understand what's going on now and how things are now. Well, they may understand more than you think they do. Maybe you don't understand as much as you think that you understand. They may not be as out of date as you might think. No chastening seems to be joyous for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it says afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So discipline, then, it may hurt. That's what it's intended to do. It may hurt our flesh. We may get our seat tanned a few times. I've had mine tanned several times, and it never did hurt my personality. I think it helped a little bit. But I want to read a quote from you from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, and I quote, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I had gotten to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. I hear some chuckles, and I chuckle too, because I think it was the other way around, that he had learned instead of the father. But godly parents have their children's interest first in their lives. They're interested first of all in the children and how that they can help them and help them to grow and to be trained in the way that they ought to be trained. Don't despise their discipline, the discipline of the parents. No parent particularly likes discipline, but it's for one's own good. Discipline suggests training, and so if we discipline someone, we're doing that not because we're mad at them, not because we hate them. We're doing it because of their own good, to point them in the right direction and let them know that there's some things that they ought not to participate in. Sometimes parents may say, and you probably have heard this and maybe have said the same thing that I'm going to say after the statement. Sometimes parents say, "This hurts me as much as it does you." You ever heard that? Probably all of us have. And you say, you wonder in your own mind, well, if it hurts you as much as it does me, then why are we doing this to start with? And that's kind of the reasoning that we do. Well, when I became a parent and found it necessary to discipline my children, I could understand what they were talking about and what they meant. No chastening for the moment is joyous, but grievous, but it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. So we're not disciplining the children because we want to. We're not disciplining them because we're mad at them. We're not disciplining them because we want them to hurt. We're doing that for their own good. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 is the passage that I quoted, I think, a little while ago, but let's read it together. "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And then in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18, it says, "Chasten your son while there is hope." And that sounds like if we don't try to chasten our children and train them while they're young, it may get to the point where there's no hope of training them. "Do not set your heart on their destruction," it says. So parents are required to discipline their children. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then in chapter 19 and verse 18, where we noted just a moment ago, "Chasten your son while there is hope." And so here we're admonished, we're required by God to discipline and to train our children. Discipline teaches respect. In Hebrews 12 and verse 7, he says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? And so it talks about and shows respect and teaches us respect for our parents and for other people as well. How many times have you heard people say today it seems like that people have lost respect for everything, even their own self? They don't respect other people's property. They don't respect other people. They don't respect age. You know, when I was growing up, I was taught to respect the age people. And so many people have lost that honor. We're taught that we're to honor them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, he said that we're to obey our parents. This is the first commandment with promise that it might be well with us, might live long on the earth. This is greatly needed by young people today to realize that they need to honor their parents, that they need to honor other people. They need to honor the policeman. They need to honor their teachers at school. They need to honor those who are older than they are. This is more to it, and there is more to it, than just obeying what our parents say. There's attitude that's involved as well. We ought to obey not because of the punishment that we're going to receive, but because we respect our parents and honor them for who they are and what they are. Honor in action, I guess, is what we could say this is. Even when we disagree with what's being said or we're told to do, do it with honor. Do it with the attitude that we ought to. To obey means to listen to their advice. Listen to it and be obedient to it. Recognize that they are human, just like we are. We're all human. And that we need to treat them right and to treat them kind. Be kind to them. Be respectful to them. Help them as much as you can. You know, parents need help in raising children as well as the children need help. Show appreciation to and for them. To them for what they are and who they are, and for them for what they do for us, and the thoughts that they have and for our benefit. Don't blame your failure on your parents. How many times have you heard that? Back a few years ago, we in the Toastmasters Club set up a Toastmasters Club in the prison down in Athens, Alabama. And we would go every week or two, and they would open up the gates and let us in, and they'd lock the gates behind us, and we were just in there with the prisoners. And so we taught them, but you know, I never found a one in there that was in there because of his own fault. It was always somebody else's fault. It was the parents that didn't raise them right, or it was the society, or it was a neighbor or a friend or something else. And nobody was there because of his own fault, but it was somebody else's fault. It's easy for us to blame our parents for our downfall, or our mistakes, or the wrongs that we do. But God expects us to be responsible for our own self. Another thing about the children and the parents. One of these days, we may have to care for our parents. You know, they may become the part where they need our help and need our expertise. We're told to requite our parents. That word requite means to repay. So we're to repay our parents. Our parents did much for us, spent many sleepless nights, and spent no telling how much money on us and things of this nature. And then one of these days, they may get to the point where they're not able to take care of themselves, and they may have to depend upon us to help them as they helped us at one time. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Verse 16 says, if any believing men or any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows, or the King James would say widows indeed. So they took care of us, our parents did, and so they may need us to, in turn, look after them. I know, being aged, that you don't want anybody to have to look after you. You don't want to be dependent on anybody. You still want to be independent and be able to do for yourself. I've always been one that did for other people, and it hurts me to sit down and let somebody do something for me that I once did for other people and did for myself. But we have to swallow our pride and realize, you know, Well, years have gone by. A lot of water's gone under the bridge. Not as strong as it used to be. Not as sure-footed as we were at one time. Don't walk as fast as we did. Carla says, what are you fussing about? You get around, you go anywhere you want to go, and you do anything you want to do. I said, well, I'd just like to do it a little faster. She said, why? What says we got to do it fast? So she tries to keep me straightened out. Children owe God and their parents the responsibility of obeying God first. Now, this is the one thing that all of us need to know, and I think as parents, that's one first thing that we realize, that God is the one that all of us are trying to please. And to obey Him, to discipline the children like you should, and to honor and respect Him and show the children that they're to honor and respect Him first of all, above me. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if it comes to the point where a parent demands you to do something that's contrary to what God says for you to do, then you're to obey God first and not men. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, it says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Children have the responsibility, first of all, to God. And He will hold us accountable for that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For He shall bring every work into account, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so we'll be responsible. Parents will be responsible. Children will be responsible for their actions. We cannot go to heaven on our parents' coattail. We can't go to heaven because our parents were spiritual, because our parents did right, but we've got to go to heaven because we do right ourselves. Each one of us is responsible. Every individual is responsible for his own actions here upon this earth. So as young people, as children, do your part to fulfill your obligations to your parents and also to your God. The lesson is yours this morning. There's a lot of other things I could have said. Maybe I said enough. Maybe I said too much. I don't know. But anyway, we need to realize that God depends on us to train and teach our children because He put them in our hands and trusted us with the responsibility. So let's live up to it. If you need to obey the gospel today, come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.